Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. Today's Sunday, June the 19th, 2022, Father's Day. And I thought we would take a look this morning and talk a little bit about our Heavenly Father this morning. So we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And we are. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now, it means today, right now, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. All those who are born again are sons of God. Now. Why? Because it's a birth. Remember, Jesus Christ talked to Nicodemus, except a person be born from above, born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter, it says we are born again of incorruptible seed. God is our Father by birth. We are all sons of God. God is literally our Father. If you would, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Adoption of children is one word in Greek, which literally means to be placed as a son. And there's only two ways you could be placed as a son. One would be by adoption. The other would be by birth. When we got born again, or born of God, we received incorruptible seed. So it's a birth. Literally, this would read, he determined beforehand for us to have sonship to himself. Just like it said in 1 John that we read, beloved, now are we the sons of God. God is our Father. This same word comes up in Galatians, if you back up a page or two. Galatians chapter 4, and we see this same word again. In Galatians 4, verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption of sons is that same word again, which literally means being placed as a son. And there's only two ways, adoption or by birth. So literally this would say, so that we might receive the sonship. We are by birth sons of God. God is our Father. And this word also comes up in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. What a chapter. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. It says, for ye have not received, Romans 8:15, you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption, again, is that same Greek word that means to be placed as a son. Literally, this would be, you have received a spirit of sonship. We are sons of God. God is our Father. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received a spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, that Spirit that we receive, that new birth Spirit that we receive, that Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Literally, by birth, God's Word says we are sons of God. So, question can come up. Why does it say sons and not sons and daughters of God? When a person gets born again, they receive God's Spirit, that gift of Holy Spirit. And whether you're male or female, we all get the same Spirit, right? There's not a female Spirit, a male Spirit that we get. We all get the same one, right? Well, let's see what God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We all get the same Spirit. Verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We having, what does it say?
Same.
The same. We, meaning all born again believers. We having the same Spirit of faith, or resulting from believing, according as it's written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We having the same Spirit. Ephesians tells us there is one Spirit. We all get the same thing. In Galatians, next book over, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:28. Everybody there? Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. Neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. Old or young, rich or poor, male or female, bond or free, doesn't matter. We all receive the same Spirit with the same rights, privileges, and abilities, whether we're male or female. But we read, now are you the sons of God. That's the first verse we read. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, all believers, male and female, that we should be called the sons of God. And I know at times people read those verses where it says sons and think or insert children. You know, we're children. And yeah, we are. You know, God is indeed our Father by birth. We are His children. But being sons of God, there's a deeper truth here. Now, there may be women who frown when they read sons. I'm not a man, sons of God. But when ladies understand why it says sons, as a woman, you're elated. The relationship that God set up for those who are born again, male or female, the relationship that God set up was a father-son relationship. And that relationship has to be understood in light of the biblical culture, the culture in which the Bible was written. We can't insert our culture into the Bible. The Bible has its culture for its day and time. So, what was the father-son relationship in Bible culture? A son would stay with and serve his father for the common good of the entire family. Stays put. That's different than our culture, right? You know, kids grow up and go, hey, I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to go and do this. You know, I'm not going to do what my dad did. In that culture, both servants and sons served. But a servant could be dismissed. You are a lousy servant. You're out. Or a servant could leave. I don't like this anymore. I'm going somewhere else. But not a son. Not a son. Remember the parable? They call it the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really the forgiving father. Remember there were two sons, and one said, hey, I want all my inheritance, and I'm out. And he left. And that was a total break of culture. And then you know how the record goes. He finally came back home, and the older son was really ticked off. He told his father, I'm doing what's right here. I've never done anything wrong, you know, and now you're letting him come back. And the older son was following regular culture, but the younger one broke culture. In the new birth as born again ones, God determined, it was his idea that each one of us, male, female, doesn't matter, that we would have a father-son relationship with him. And so he has given all of us, whether we're male or female, that very esteemed position or status of being in a relationship with God as a father-son relationship, according to the biblical culture. Well, you talk about equal rights for women. How do you like that? Pretty good. Look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. Every born-again one has been elevated to the position of having a father-son relationship with God Almighty. And that's why all of us are heirs. In the biblical culture, only the sons were heirs. They got the inheritance. In the new birth, regardless of being male or female, we are all heirs of God because God has elevated each one of us to that father-son relationship. And understanding that in light of the biblical culture, it's huge. So, ladies, when you read as a born-again one that you are a son of God, understanding the biblical culture, how much more special could God make you as being a son to the Father, to God Almighty? Not a servant, but a son and an heir. So that's huge. In the Old Testament, the relationship they had was that of a servant. And as servants, they served God, they obeyed God as a good servant would. And, you know, in that culture, sons weren't exempt from serving the father. They didn't, you know, my dad's got a bunch of servants, I'm going to go play golf all day. Not in that culture. Sons served right along with the servants. They served the father. Remember the very first recorded words of Jesus Christ when he stayed behind. He was 12 years old and stayed behind, and then Joseph and Mary had to come and try to find him. And when they found him, what did he say? He said, "How was it you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" His heavenly Father's business. Jesus Christ, as we know from the scriptures, always did the Father's will. He always pleased the Father. His whole life was serving his Father. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment's just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." In chapter 8 of John, verse 29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus Christ always did those things that pleased the Father. He always did the will of the Father. His whole life was about his Father's business. Remember in the garden when he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." A son in that culture served the Father. And so shouldn't we too, as sons of God, be about our Father's business? Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. "And because ye are sons," ye who? Anyone that's born again, male or female. "And because you are sons," because we have that elevated, special relationship of the father-son relationship with God. "And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Isn't that just special for all of us? We're no more servants, we're sons. We have father-son relationship. And service is service, whether a servant does it or whether a son does it. But as sons of God, we can serve our Father in a greater and richer capacity than servants did. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. As sons, we can serve our Father in a greater and richer capacity than that of a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Old Testament, it doesn't say that God was at work within them to will and do of his good pleasure. But he is at work within us to will and do of his good pleasure. Back up to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, for through him we, the born-again ones, Ephesians 2:18, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. For the Old Testament servants, it doesn't say that they all had access by one Spirit unto the Father, but we do. Believers in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of God with all nine manifestations available to them, but we do. Old Testament servants couldn't bring people the good news about getting born again and receiving eternal life. They couldn't share the good news of all that we have available in the new birth. They couldn't do that. We can. We can. Turn to Titus. Timothy, Titus. What a privilege when we see this. We're sons of God. We have that father-son relationship. And you know whose idea that was? It was God's idea. This is interesting. I just thought I'd show you this. In chapter 1 of Titus, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. A servant of God. In what capacity? As a son serving the Father. Paul was a servant serving the Father. As sons in that culture would serve their father. Having a father-son relationship, we have a greater relationship with God than the master-servant relationship in the Old Testament. And so it would seem logical that our service would be of an even greater capacity. So first of all, if we're going to serve our Father as a son would serve, it'd be a good idea to know what our Father said. It'd be a good idea to know what our Father's will is. You know, if you were going to work a job somewhere and serve, you'd probably want to know what you're supposed to do. What's it all about? So we need to know what the Father said. And so we have the book. We have the Bible. We read, right? We read and understand his words, and then we obey his words, right? And so, because we're born again and the seven church epistles are specifically addressed to us, words from our Father, you should read those, right? So this morning, let's start in Romans, and we're just going to read all the church epistles. No, we don't have time to read all the church epistles, but you get the point? Let's read one little section in Colossians 3. Turn to Colossians 3. But doesn't that make sense? If we're going to serve our Father, well, what did our Father say? This is a wonderful section. There's plenty of wonderful sections. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections or your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, oh, today's a great day for that, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In the meantime, mortify, blow to smithereens. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. See, God's saying, get that out of your life completely. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Well, we're not children of disobedience anymore. We're children of God. And as a matter of fact, we're sons of God that serve our Father. In the which also you walked sometime. Yeah, you might have been in that. But when you lived in them, But now, because we're different, we are born again children of God and sons of God. But now, put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Get rid of that stuff. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, this new creation that we have, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, who created this new image in us? God did. And it's renewed after the knowledge. Where do we get this knowledge? From his word. He's written it to us so we're not stupid, so we could know. 11 says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore. They just told us to get rid of a bunch of junk stuff, right? Well, now here's what we put on, therefore. As the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're holy and beloved. We're God's sons with that father-son relationship. And we're God's children, too. And God loves his children. Put on, therefore, we're holy and beloved. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God. Above all these things, walk with the love of God in your heart, which is the bond of perfectness. Doing what God's word tells us to do, these are our Father's words. As we do these things, we are about our Father's business. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh my gosh, in these days and times, let the peace of God rule in my heart? Wow, God certainly didn't know what I would be going through in these days. He didn't know. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Look for things to be thankful and grateful for. How about this? Let the word of Christ, or the word pertaining to Christ, dwell in you richly. You know, that's more than like reading a verse a day. Now, let me read one verse for today. That was great. Maybe that's a starting point. Okay. At least it's a starting point. But let the word that pertains to Christ dwell in you richly. It's God's word in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We let the word dwell in us. We're able to speak the word to others. We are about our Father's business. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it goes on with some specific things to do. So in doing what our Father said, we're about our Father's business. We're doing his will. Our Father God in his word says to those who are born again, I would you all speak with tongues. That's what he said. He says in his word that we should seek to excel at edifying the body. God says put off the old, put on the new. God says put on the whole armor of God. That's what we need to do to be good servants. If we didn't need to do that, God wouldn't tell us that. He'd just say, you know, sit back, relax, have a clump of grapes, and wait for Jesus. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know, that's that letting the word dwell in you. You know, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man, every woman, every person that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and reverence. We're ready to speak God's word, right? We're ready. Well, if we never put any of God's word into our hearts, if we don't let the word dwell in us, we don't have much to speak. But speaking God's word to others, is that not being about our Father's business? Mm-hmm. Certainly it is. It's serving the Father. So again, it starts with understanding our Father's words. That's why we spend time reading God's word, studying God's word, putting God's word into our hearts and minds. Why? Because we want to serve our Father. We have a father-son relationship with him. We believe our Father's words and we obey. And, you know, we look for open doors where we're able to share the good news with others. And we pray. Obviously, we talk to our Father. And as we live our lives according to God's word, if our Father would communicate something to us, then we're already in the habit of listening to him, his words, and talking with him. And if Father would reveal something to us, communicate something to us that he would like for us to do, we're already in the habit of hearing from him by reading his words, and we can carry it out. You could go to 1 John 3. We're going to close there where we started, 1 John 3. It's interesting because in the Old Testament, for God's people living under the law, there were lots that they had to do. And there were a lot of sacrifices, as you know, sacrificed the bulls and the goats and the rams. They did a lot of those sacrifices. But it's interesting in 1 Samuel 15, when the great prophet Samuel was reproving King Saul, Samuel said, and speaking for God, he said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God said to obey him and to listen to him way better than sacrifice. And in Hosea 6:6 it says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Today, God has given every person who's born again the esteemed privilege of being a son of God, having that father-son relationship. How special we are. And you remember Jesus Christ said, "Let your light so shine that people could see your good works and glorify" who? "Your Father who's in heaven." A lot of times people want people to glorify them for their good works. "Look how great I am. Look what I did. Look what I believed for. Look what..." Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and as a result of that, glorify your Father who's in heaven. Well, that's certainly serving our Father's interest, isn't it? Understanding the culture in Bible times really opens our eyes to what a great privilege it is for us to have that father-son relationship. And as sons of God, we can choose, if we want to be about our Father's business. So let's close where we started, 1 John chapter 3. Behold, behold, look at this. Wow. You know, this is a wow moment. Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love is this? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And we are. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. And then that next verse, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And until that day comes, we have that father-son relationship. Whether we serve him or not, it's up to us. But what a great privilege that our Heavenly Father has given each one of us. So, Father, on this wonderful Father's Day, every day is Father's Day. For you, our great, wonderful God, we come before you in great thanksgiving for the privilege to be your sons, for the great privilege to have you as our Father, for for all the great blessings that you have given us. Father, in the new birth, the eternal life, your Spirit, all the rights and privileges that we have as children of God. Thank you for all the work that Jesus Christ accomplished for us on our behalf so that we could be sons of God. Thank you for the days ahead and that you would help us and guide us, and that, Father, we could do our best to love you, to obey and serve you, and to be about our Father's business. And we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.